The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift, and we are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. I thought you were going to say something.
Me?
Yeah, I thought you looked like you were deep in thought, and you were about to.
Yeah, I was deep in thought. I'm definitely a wall starer, as I think. I know you have all noticed that. I'm like the kind of person that kind of stares at the ceiling. You know, stares at the wall, stares out the window, looks at the table.
Well, that's because there's not a lot going on up there.
There's not. There's truly not, man. It's an empty cavern.
Might be some carpets needing cleaned after this weekend because people tracking in the snow and stuff. My neighbor, he's got two, his girls are, I think it's 15 and 12 or 15 and 13. He's like, I'm going to teach you.
He told me, he said,
you can learn a lesson this weekend from me about how you handle kids in the snow. And I was like, what does that even mean? He's like, dude, the secret is they're going to go outside and play in the snow. That's great. But they gotta take their shoes off and like the jackets off and stuff in the garage. He's like, because then you don't track it in. And I think also it makes them less likely to go out multiple times, like keep going in and out. You go out once and you're like, oh, that's cold. I'm not doing that anymore.
I've heard from multiple people that the 12 to 14 age range for parenting is like by far the hardest age range. Like the middle school, upper middle school, going into ninth grade, where like your kids all of a sudden don't like you. And all of a sudden there's a lot. I guess Day Day would probably know better than anybody. You agree? is deadly.
It's a rat.
I'm gonna go from like I don't want to pitch today to like I want to wear my hair down.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
no, I did. I mean, I painted nails, but I did both. My knees are all torn up from playing sports, but I'd be making friendship bracelets or doing designs on friends' fingernails. But you could do both.
I got 12 years to get.
But I was also crazy. I did flip the switch at that age. So,
did you ever flip it back?
No, I did not. I was gonna say when we got into this that I'm the only one that hasn't had a shot taken at them this morning, and that was yes. But I haven't.
Real quick before we go off the topic of kids and snow and ages and stuff like that, is Ridge at the age? Maybe Stevie's even at the age that they want to play in snow. If y'all get some,
Stevie's never seen it. I mean, I think they're excited enough just based on the Frozen movie. That they would, and Ridge hasn't seen it in a couple of years.
They would want to build a snowman.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, let me get that Olaf. You know, hey, Dad, make sure you got carrots in the fridge.
I was going to say, when's the last time we had a good snow?
It's, you know what's crazy?
It's been about 3 years.
Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. From like 2010 to 2015, it was like every winter you had a good snowstorm. Like every year it felt like you had a good snowstorm. And then it like went away like the last 5 years. I feel like we haven't had a good one.
I didn't move back here until the end of 2014.
Yeah, I got stuck on the way to practice 1 year. Not like stuck in a ditch, but like between two hills. And I had to get some Falcons fan guy that lived in the neighboring neighborhood. He was sledding with his kids. I had to get him to pick me up, take me to practice. His kids thought it was awesome, like driving into the gates at Flowery Branch. But I was extremely late, so that was not good. But they understood. Mike Smith understood.
All right, let's get back to those, since you brought up Falcons, the off-season grades. Are the grades for this season? We are in the off season. Come on, Tiffany.
Good job.
All right. So we talked about the cornerbacks first in our previous hour, but we did not get to hit on AJ Terrell. So I'll give you guys the floor to do that and what you have decided to grade him.
A.
Really?
That was fast.
Yeah. I think with a week left in the season, he had been thrown at a week or two. I can't recall because I remember it was on my vacation. My staycation where I had a couple of days off after Christmas. He would have been thrown at the third least amount of times in the NFL, and it was behind. Two guys that you consider the top cornerbacks in the league. I'll pull the stat up here in a second. You went to Washington, and he's not asked to travel a ton, but when he does, it works. He was asked to travel against Terry McLaurin, one catch, 7 yards after I think it was three targets, maybe two to three targets, and there was a pass breakup in there. AJ Terrell, he also had two interceptions this year. He went like 2 years without one. He had six pass breakups essentially, but it's hard to get them when you're not getting thrown at. I thought he did a good job for the most part this year in the screen game when it came towards him. Not great, but a lot better than anybody else on the team.
I'm having trouble, and I'm a big AJ Terrell fan. I'm having trouble giving him an A. I mean, I think that's a strong number.
If you can give Mike Hughes would you give him a C?
Yeah, give him a C.
Then you got to give AJ Terrell an A because they didn't throw at AJ. AJ Terrell was.
You tell me there's a 2-grade difference between what you see in Mike Hughes and AJ Terrell this year.
Yeah, I mean there's stats
like I agree with you from a coverage standpoint a lot of times, and he's being tasked with some very tough matchups. But to your point, he didn't travel all year with guys, and I think he was probably, you know, all apologies to Justin Simmons, AJ might have been the worst tackler in the secondary.
He got worse at times. So he covered Terry McLaurin.
Too many shoulders being
32 of the 34 routes. So 94, and he allowed one catch for 5 yards. I'm sorry, on 7 targets.
Again,
so,
that's one game, one receiver, and that's at the end of the season.
But also the amount of times they threw at him because of what he's doing is not there. I mean, they just don't throw his way very often.
Well, Mike, did you already give your grade for?
It's not an A. I'd probably go with a B. I think if I give Mike Hughes a C, I'm giving AJ Terrell a B. I don't even think I can go to B plus. And I like I said, I love AJ Terrell. I think he's worth the money because he's got all that upside. He's got length. I don't think they utilize him to his strengths in the cover three matchups. But I think they started doing that towards the end of the year. I had to see better tackling out of him. His tackling is just, it's not where you want it to be for a guy of that caliber.
All right, moving on to safeties now, and you can start with Jesse Bates, and I can already take a guess as to what grade you guys are going to give him. Maybe I'm wrong. A?
Probably wrong for me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jesse Bates is the best player on the defense week in and week out. I think Caden Ellis had a hell of a year, but Jesse Bates is the one consistent on this defense, and it's not. He's the only guy that every once in a while, sure. But he's the only guy that to me is just he's an all pro. He should be an all pro this year. Again, he's got 10 interceptions in 2 seasons with the Falcons.
The interceptions are great. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm not taking away from Jesse. I don't think he played this as well as he did last year.
I don't know. It's hard for it's that's hard. Because the difference in the defense, and I just think it comes back to the fact that they were asked to do. They played that umbrella coverage stuff so many times. It felt like where they're so far off and
rotated the safeties.
Yeah,
wanted to play center field. I get all that. I don't think he was as good this year as he was last year. I don't think he created the havoc. Obviously, he's got the interceptions and a couple of them that changed the games, but. You know, the forced fumbles kind of fell off towards the end of the season, and it just felt like at times when you needed Jesse to step up and be that guy, he wasn't the guy he was a year ago. And I don't know the reasons for that. Again, very good player. I'm not trying to say that these guys are not good. AJ, Jesse, all these guys on defense. But do what?
Amongst all the defense, then, what would you grade him at? Bo said he's probably the best player other than Caden Ellis.
Consistently. Well, I think AJ, Ellis, and Jesse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Are your three
from
best
down
players.
In and down out, those are your three best players.
Real quick, third lowest target rate, which was 12% all year against corners with 400 more coverage snaps. Jalen Johnson and Patrick Surtain the second were the only guys that were better than A.J. Terrell in that stat.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't know that I'm seeing him as good as last year. A's tough. I'll go with B-plus for Jesse.
All right, we got two more guys to get to. So, Richie Grant, guys.
I don't see enough of Richie. There's almost not
enough sample size.
Arch and I had this conversation and talking about Richie, and you know, he was like, I think people have to forget the first year of Richie, and he's grown since then. He's also going to be a free agent this year. This was his fourth year. If that's where I say inconclusive really comes up to me because I didn't see enough. It was okay when I saw him. He was okay, which an okay means he was average, which is a C. A C is an average grade for me. I hate to give him that because I'm not trying to take away from him because I didn't see a lot of bad from him, but I didn't see a lot from him at all.
He was putting, and let's just be straight out frank here, he was put in some very difficult spots, but it was because of what he did not show during camp. Remember, Richie Grant's that guy. You bring in Justin Simmons at the end of training camp. All of a sudden, Justin Simmons. Now Richie Grant has to find a third safety role in certain instances. He also played a little bit of nickel when you were down really low in your secondary against Denver, an impossible spot for him. To me, he's an athletic outside linebacker almost, and he was not good in coverage this year, flat out not good in coverage, and I thought he was below average as far as his ability to make tackles. So, I'm C-minus, D-plus on Richie Grant.
All right, final guy, Justin Simmons.
Man.
Not impressed.
Tough.
Not impressed at all. Way too many times did I see Justin Simmons seemingly lost in coverage. Way too many times.
Him and Jesse Bates' body language towards each other at the end of the year, to me, told a massive story.
And this is going to sound screwed up to say, but I trust Jesse.
Sure.
Justin
Simmons didn't even go through the offseason with the team. So yeah. I think it's easy to trust that Jesse, having been with the team 2 years, like you're like, okay, I think he probably knows a little better.
And I've seen some of the things he does before, you know, after games. He's got on the bus, he's got the freaking iPad out.
Come on, Jesse.
Yeah. Jesse's looking over things. It's hard for me to think that Jesse Bates is lining up wrong or Jesse Bates is not doing those things. For what Justin Simmons was hyped for, I don't know how he's not viewed as the same as Matthew Judon is, which is a disappointment.
I agree. And, you know, both those guys were coming on a, you know, 1 year deal for Justin Simmons, expiring contract for Matthew Judon. I wouldn't go out of my way to have either one of them back. I'm not like, hey, you got to bring that guy back. Like, I don't feel that way about either one of them. And Justin Simmons, for whatever reason, be it he was rusty, be it he didn't know the system, be it there's back communication, I don't know. Wasn't impressed this year.
Maybe this will impress you. A certain player has a prediction as to which team will be in the Super Bowl next year. You can take your best guess when we return, because I'll tell you. So think about it. But we will hit the huddle. We're going in the huddle next when we return to give you NFL headlines on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift. And hey, you can join Andy and Randy this Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Discover Boating Atlanta Boat Show in partnership with Progressive Insurance at the Georgia World Congress Center. New model boats will be on display along with a surfing simulator, a bathtub, fishing demos, and much more. It's all the Georgia World Congress Center this Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, you've met my cousin Nate. He's coming in town for the boat show. Yeah, Nasty Nate. He's coming in town for the boat show. He does obviously a lot of fishing down in the Gulf and everything else, and so he's stoked. Like, he's flying in just for this event up from Florida. Like, he's flying in. Like, he's like, hey, I'll meet you Thursday night. Can I stay with you? Like this and that. I'm like, you know, there's like a snowstorm possibly coming. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. Just want to go to the boat show.
He's stuck with you.
Yeah. He's like, just want to go to the boat show. I'm like, yeah, okay, man, 10-4.
Nate's the kind of guy that's going to be like, if he was a vendor at the boat show, he would just have his cooler in his boat that he was showing off. And he would be absolutely hammering cold beers
out
of it.
He's such a salesman, man. Such a salesman. He's, you know, he's, hey, man, check this thing out. I got the latest technology on this boat right here.
Salesman, yes, but like kind of like the hustler salesman.
Exactly.
Like kind of like a used car guy.
He did. He used to own a small used car dealership.
What's this tape on this boat you're trying to tell? Oh no, man, that's just that's this new high tech tape. Look, don't worry about that. This thing will float right on out there and you get out in the middle of the water and your boat's starting to carry water.
Hey, before we go in the huddle, I was just having a conversation with my wife. I'm actually, since there's a 3-day weekend next week in national championship games on Monday, I'm actually taking my kids down to Florida for the weekend so my wife can have a weekend to herself. She just doesn't ever get any time at home by herself. She's so stoked about it. And she just hit me up, and she sends me a screen grab of AT&T Playoff Playlist Live, which is a concert that's happening at State Farm before the national championship game. And I looked at it, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with that? Like, you know I'm going to be out of town. And she's like, I think I might go to this. And it's Glorilla, Lil Wayne, Camila Cabello, like all these other people. And I'm like, Who are you going with to this thing? Like, you can't go by yourself. So she starts hitting me up with a list of friends that she thinks she might, invite and see if they want to go to this. And I'm like, dude, you better just not get too rowdy while I'm out of town with the kids.
Also, be careful because doesn't one of them, not pay back or wants to be paid back for every little thing?
Probably won't be inviting that one.
Yeah.
Probably not the one where it's
if you saw that person on the list.
Split the Uber.
Yeah, you might want to X that one off. No.
You
have been eliminated.
Or you get a bill when you get home the next day. And you always have that friend that'll bill you the next day, but they always forget everything you bought for them. You know what I mean?
That means that person doesn't get a rose to come back the next time.
You know what I'm saying? You have friends like that, Tiff, where like the next day they're like, hey, the bill for this, and you're like, I didn't eat dessert or have any of that wine you're talking about, or like, I paid for the Uber for us to get there or the tickets to get to the show. Like, why,
I don't have anyone in my groups, various groups that are like that. For the most part, it's always like, hey, we all split the bill, or hey, I got it.
Oh,
you
no.
kind of like,
If
I wasn't drinking, because I haven't been drinking, my friends, I don't ever have to say anything because they'll be like, nah, we'll send you some extra cash back. Like, we'll split it to make it easier on the server, and then they might hit me back because I didn't have alcohol at dinner.
I'm nervous for you because a lot of times if you say it wasn't you in any of the groups, I mean, you didn't have
any. No, we don't have anyone in mine.
I know, but sometimes that might mean it's you. Sometimes
no, because I always
mean.
Split it.
Sometimes you that would have might someone... mean, I don't know. It doesn't have to be a dinner bill.
No, that would be, because then I would say, yeah, I want my money back. But if I'm saying everyone splits it, then what do you, I don't get what
get
you're...
nervous
I
will, that it was me.
I will say this.
How would that be, what do you mean?
If you don't know anybody, you don't hang out with anybody like that.
But you would have to actually ask for money, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying I'm not being truthful right now and that I go back and ask for money back for people?
Maybe it's not, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'll say this. If I say, if you throw your card down and you say Venmo me, I'll say, all right, tell me the amount. And if you don't tell me the amount, I ain't guessing.
What?
Yeah, hey, you gotta tell me.
I gotta follow up with you after I offer to pay.
You think you know me? I'm highly offended.
I just said a lot of times that
maybe it's you. No, it's not me.
Okay.
Well, you're pretty defensive for
me. Yeah, I am because times I pick up the bill.
Wow.
So that
I'm just saying, sometimes when you ask a group question, you say none of the groups you hang out with have that person. I'm like, I don't know,
But then he's calling me a liar.
No, it's not a lie thing.
Yeah, you're
saying. But to Bo's point, I don't understand how Bo's like, if you don't follow up with me and tell me what I owe you, I'm not going to send it to you.
If you don't,
it's ridiculous.
If I don't know the amount and you say, hey, I'll grab it and just hit me back, well, you got it.
Don't you know the amount of money you spent on whatever the card's being thrown down for?
If there's three or four people, I'm not going to know the math. I'm not doing math.
What are you talking about?
I'm hung up on is how you.
Why are you still hung up on this?
Because I'm trying to get, I don't understand how me saying, we don't have anyone in our group that says that nickels and dimes people, we always usually just split it.
Yeah. Well, let me address him first. The thing is with both, the thing I don't understand, I'm talking about if you're at a table, right? Y'all order appetizers, whatever it may be, and everybody gets a couple round of beers. And then one person throws their card down.
Yeah.
You're telling me that, don't know
you
how
to,
many beers?
I have to know the – no, if
or
it's
like,
– well, that's a split – but see, you're splitting it. So what's – you got to tell me the tab and say, hey, it's 165. We'll split it three ways. Okay, well, what's – just tell me what my thing is. If you don't tell me 165 split three ways, tell me what it is. Just say you owe me $35. Venmo me $35. Then I got you. If you just grab it and say I got it, just hit me back. You gotta tell me what the number is.
No, man. I don't know. They say, seems
no, no. They
but
say
I also
yeah,
feel like
it,
you could look at the receipt
next,
too. Though.
Like,
no, I'm not. No, no, no. If you're gonna grab the bill, that's that. You have now taken that onus on you.
So wait, if your friend grabs,
I disagree with that.
No,
friend,
I do too.
If your friend grabs the bill and says, "No, wait, don't worry about it. I gotta get me next time." You will then, the following time you're out, you'll be wondering
well,
how
then,
much you paid.
Actually, then, no, no, no. If you say, get me next time, I'm going to say, tell me the exact amount. Then I'll look at it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I ain't paying you a dime
that's
more.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, you ought to be
cheap.
Embarrassed by
oh,
yourself.
I am cheap.
You're,
hey,
you're telling me
hey,
you're that guy that I got to send. I'm the one that has to send you a bill
off,
now?
My dad didn't play in the NFL, and I didn't play
oh,
in the NFL.
Whoa, whoa,
what
whoa,
does that have to do with anything?
I went there.
You are completely out of
there.
I guess I didn't work for
there.
Any of the money I have.
I guess I didn't go work in all these small markets to work my way up and over to my account at Jamba
Juice. I'm just saying.
That's not a big deal.
Some of us had different starting spots than others. Ain't that right?
No, don't be
no,
waiting.
You are by yourself on this one, dog.
No one who's driving right now can see you wink or listening to
us. They're not on your team right now. You sound ridiculous.
Hey, well, wouldn't be the first time.
So I'm supposed to buy all your beer because I played in the NFL?
You don't have to buy me anything.
You just said that. What did that even mean?
That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you just said.
I said that if you that I am a lot tighter with my money. I ain't paying for people to do stuff. I pay for me.
So, but
what the?
So what is that? That means that I can't be as tight with my money because I played in the NFL?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying
your management
that
writer,
I'm
remember?
Not,
you're in, you have executive
yeah,
producer
have,
tagged
yeah.
your name.
Let me
I don't
tell
have
you something.
That.
The title is bigger than the financial reward.
But that's not my,
that
that's none of my business. That's none of my business.
Wow, we are treading into – I was going to tell a story.
Now you got Mark Zeno texting
now.
Me.
Yeah, I'm just so – I'm so embarrassed for you
that
you just put this on the airwaves,
oh, you owe me exactly this
amount. Unbelievable. Just – how about this? Just pay for what you spend. That's yeah, I know,
and
right?
That's what I was saying. I was like, just look at the receipt and be like, okay,
hey, pork chop's gonna be raking leaves at 7, okay?
I keep waiting for this.
We ain't having no freeloaders in my house.
And evidently not getting paid for it.
I just, and I don't air my stuff out, but I just went to a fancy, expensive dinner last week and I didn't drink. But guess who still split the bill? I did, because I'll see that friend another time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell her, oh, you had wine and I didn't.
Right.
Who cares? Like, we're going to hang out again. I'm sure she'll get something again.
See,
it's not a...
The conversation kind of started as a... For my wife. My wife had an incident. Not an incident. She, like, went to dinner. They got a hotel because there was a concert. They didn't want to drive. There was an Uber. There was, like, all these different things. And my wife thinks they're just kind of going back and forth. You pay for one thing, I get around, you get around. I get, we split the dinner bill. I'll get the Uber because you picked up this much of the dinner or the pregame drinks or the concert tickets or whatever. And at the end of the day, and I'm pretty sure my wife gave this other person a concert ticket. And at the end, like the next morning, they're like, oh, well, hey, I never got any money back from that Uber. And my wife's like, you didn't pay for anything.
You didn't pay
what
for
are you
anything.
Talking about?
But see,
I have a story. I want to go ahead, but I want to tell a quick story before.
Yeah, no, you got it. That's how me and Gardner do it when we go to Supercross. We go to Supercross every year. I get tickets, he gets hotel.
Right.
And then we get up there, and it's like we get our own meals, but then if we're inside the stadium, I'll go get beers, and then he'll go get beers.
But even if it's that, like, you just, like, I know, like, if a friend got the hotel and said, I got points, I got this, I'm probably going to pay for our Ubers to get to that hotel.
Exactly.
Because it's just a gesture.
That's just
my
how you
story
do it.
Is, and I can air this out because I don't no longer talk to this person. This was years ago. I was unemployed, was still supposed to be in a wedding in Colorado at Arapahoe Basin. We go to the rehearsal dinner. Again, I quit the business for a little while. It's a whole other story. Was not working. Still go to this wedding. Everybody's sitting there. We're talking like 20 people or whatever this wedding party is. And we have lunch. What do you call it? Like a rehearsal? Like not a rehearsal dinner, but it was like
a
bridal
party.
Lunch,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just the bridal party. We go to this lunch. They bring the bill, and the restaurant says, we don't split the bill up. Everybody sits there just looking dumbfounded.
Credit card roulette.
My thing was like, the bride and groom, they should pay for this, right? We've all traveled in. It's just understood, right? You know who picked up the bill because I was with freaking children?
Oh, you did.
My unemployed butt picked up the bill.
Your credit card company did.
And my credit card company did. My unemployed self. That was the worst bride ever. Anyway. I had to ask for my stuff back because I was unemployed.
Well, that's
but people weren't even like paying me back.
That's I was going to say that's the problem. I mean, the problem is I don't have a problem
she's
with
trash.
The bride and groom.
She still looks at all my stories.
Yeah.
Golly.
How do you can see who looks at your stories?
Yeah, some people.
Oh, okay. I didn't
there's
know
some
that.
People I
you can, and I know that Tiff does.
Oh, yeah?
Only, there's
she
only,
called you out?
Only if you have, like, a certain creeper or something like that.
No, I think, no, well, Tiff, you look.
Speaking of which,
you,
just to finish up your story, Bo is the person that you're talking about. You didn't tell those people how much they owed you, so Bo thinks he's eating for free. That's exactly what you just
actually,
said a minute ago.
Actually, if
you
I was.
Don't tell me how much I owe
actually,
you, then I'm not paying
if I
you.
Was, if I was Tiffany.
Unbelievable.
In her wedding story.
Oh, she's done. I don't talk to her. I haven't talked to her for years.
No, I'm canceled. Saying if I was you, I wouldn't have put my card down and been like, I'm not paying it.
You're
I traveled
that guy.
Out here. If I travel, Tiffany's right. If I travel to your wedding.
And I had no
you're getting
job.
A rehearsal
yeah, but it's
dinner,
not
dude.
Just it's not just the bride. It was the bridal party, right? So the,
yeah,
y'all could, the least they could do is split the
they
whole thing between
travel.
The bridal party.
But the bridal party should pick it up. I have a whole theory on weddings and stuff like that, but we don't have time for that. We will go in the huddle, I'm told, by producer Dylan.
We could do a whole hour probably on your thoughts on bridal parties.
And weddings in general. We'll do in the huddle and a mic'd up when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Back here on the morning shift with the latest NFL headlines. I need you guys to either pull out a crystal ball, maybe a magic eight ball. Because who do you think is going to end up holding the trophy, the Lombardi trophy, at the end of next season? So who's going to be the Super Bowl winner? Any thoughts?
At the end of next season?
The end of next season.
I have no clue. I mean,
all right, well, Micah Parsons does. Parsons says, for the people that kept believing, because we are not done yet. We are not done yet. I hope that y'all don't think we're done yet. It's going to be amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see when we're holding the trophy. Yes, it's big goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, us holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. We are going to be holding a trophy up next year, point blank, period.
He's got a vision board.
Yeah,
you're a believer in vision boards.
If you ask the universe for something,
is that what it is?
You have to be very specific.
Okay.
I learned that lesson.
Is that what did you like when you did yours this year? Was it more specific than
last
year's?
It was very specific. But no, I didn't do a vision board last year. I got on board this year, but I just learned a lesson this year that when you ask for something,
but no, it's no,
you better be specific with what you're asking for.
You did one last year.
No, it was never completed.
A couple of magazine clippings and a poster board with some glue.
This year's vision board is just to complete the vision board.
It's completed.
Okay, what's on it?
None of your business.
Yeah, I was going to say, you knew better than to ask
but it's
that
very
question.
Specific.
I know.
Well, if you were my maintenance guy coming
posted.
In, you would see it.
Well,
by
maybe
accident.
Maybe the universe is trying to tell you that what you the specific needs that you had last year is not what was best for you. You know what I mean? Maybe the universe is steering you in another direction.
Yes, but I'm saying you need to be specific with it. So Michael Parsons is being very specific, and he's speaking it out loud to the world. And do you think the Cowboys?
Listen.
You know, they dealt with some injuries this season. They lost Dak Prescott because of injury. Do you think they end up
Micah Parsons is an incredible football player, the likes of which I was never even near. But if all it took was a vision board and speaking it into existence, then the Atlanta Falcons would have a Super Bowl by now. Let me just put it that way.
Because, I'd have won the lottery.
I was going to say, speaking into existence. And I fully believe that Micah Parsons will do everything on his end to hold it up. But you need health to go your way. You need the draft to go your way. You need a lot of things to go your way throughout the next few months. So, shout out to him though. He believes in his squad. He believes in his guys. I'm glad that has that personality because I think you need those guys. But I wouldn't put the Cowboys in the top 10 of teams that I thought that might win the Super Bowl next season. Wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, let's look at your NFL Wild Card Weekend preview because Saturday's matchups. We can start there: Chargers and Texans, and then the Steelers and the Ravens.
I think that the Steelers and the Ravens matchup is so interesting to me, man. Obviously, the Ravens come out and said that they're preparing for two different quarterbacks and everything that kind of goes along the lines of that. The Steelers are in such a skid right now. And I listen, we all heard Russell Wilson's comments last weekend. He doesn't want to talk about the past. Literally 10 minutes after they just lost a game, they want to focus on the future and focus on the playoffs. But that's a team that needs to get a number of things corrected. They were so good for such a large span of the regular season that things got off the rails there at the end for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's a locker room thing because you hear guys come out after, I think it was the last time they played the Ravens and talked about how or maybe it was the Chiefs, after the Chiefs game, after the Christmas game, how guys aren't on the same page, and it only takes one guy to screw everything up. And then you, and that was on the defense. Those are defensive guys. And you have George Pickens complaining like he always does. And then he goes out and has, like, what, four drops? And the last time they play, I mean.
Talking trash to the crowd.
Yeah, they have some guys in that locker room. And as good as Mike Tomlin is as a coach and as a wrangler of egos.
And I want to talk about him in a minute.
It's starting to fester in a way where every year it kind of derails their season. And that's not a good spot. And I don't know what the future holds for that, the entire thing there, but they have a locker room issue in Pittsburgh, it seems like. And that's surprising because Mike Tomlin is such a good coach and he's so, you know, thought highly of with that kind of, with how he handles those things.
So I'm going to go back to the matchups, but because you're talking about Tomlin, that's one of the things that's out there. And a lot of the pundits, other talking heads, can I call people talking heads? I'm not really a talking head.
Call whatever you want
you
to.
You are a talking
not
head
when you're
at times.
A reporter. Like talking heads, I feel
but
like are people in studio.
You're a radio host
but
right now.
You have done studio shows.
But I'm thinking, dang.
Where you talk about both, games. Yes, so, yes, you are a talking right, head in some ways.
Anyway, so Tomlin, people are talking about, and the idea is being suggested that we go back to old school ways and trade coaches. And people are saying that that maybe his time has run out. Again, never had a losing season in Pittsburgh in what, how many years? Seven? How long has he been that coach?
He like, he became the head coach at
time.
2007 was his first season,
right?
Because
so, yeah.
Kyler won the Super Bowl in 2005, and then in 2006 he played. He coached one more year and retired.
So because it's a topic that's out there, do you think that the Steelers find a way? I mean, I don't see it happening, but it's a topic of discussion of trading coaches and him being one that still a great coach, but maybe it's just not attainable anymore in Pittsburgh.
I don't think the Steelers are that dumb.
Well, if they do, they're going to get like a first and maybe two firsts or something if they did.
Oh my gosh, dude, the list of teams that would sign up to hire Mike Tomlin right now.
I would just get rid of George Pickens and whoever the defensive cancer is that has been mentioned multiple times. They didn't name him, but I would get rid of the problems. There's only a couple of problems on that roster. But because it doesn't appear that his message has gotten stale. When your message gets stale and you lose the locker room, you lose 12 or 13 games. You don't lose seven, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have it like it is. I think he's still more than capable. Now, maybe he wants a change of scenery. Maybe he wants to do something
very
different.
Possible. And look, that's a franchise that's had, what, three head coaches in their entire existence. So I don't think that they're going to do anything in that realm. And that's been brought up before, Tiff, this offseason. There was people talking about Kyle Shanahan might be in that kind of boat, you know, for the Chicago Bears. I remember that was one of the conversations being had. But I just think that Mike Tomlin is so good with personalities like this that sometimes you can lean into that too much. Remember, this is a team that last year had Deontay Johnson. And you know, got rid of him, and you know that was another personality that was obviously very hard to deal with. So, Bill Belichick for so long, because of the way that locker room was, because you had Tom Brady and some of the defensive leaders, the Brewskis, the Vrabels, whatever it is, you felt like you could take on these personalities. You know, the Randy Mosses of the world, and you could bring in big personalities, and they wouldn't ever be an issue. I think that Mike Tomlin is a lot like that. And I think that he runs a tight ship and he can relate to a lot of these guys. But I think sometimes it just gets to a point where you're like, all right, man, got to cut bait.
It's easier when you have Ben Roethlisberger and not Russell Wilson.
Touche.
And Tom Brady, to your point with Belichick, Tom Brady
I think
was
Ben was
voice.
More relatable to some of these guys than I think Russell probably is not quite as relatable.
Well, a guy wants his own office.
All right, let's move on to Sunday matchup. So, and I'm going to jump to start with the Packers and Eagles. And that is because Jalen Hurts' status for that game. He's been back at practice, and according to ESPN, you know, and his teammates, this article I'm reading is from ESPN, that his teammate Jordan Mailata, left tackle, he said that Jalen Hurts looked sharp today. So that was at Wednesday's practice. He said it was awesome to have him back, and he came back with high energy. Of course, he had the concussion that he sustained in the first quarter of their game against the Commanders back on December, 22nd?
Yeah, it's kind of a tale of two teams because his return and Christian Watson's injury, kind of really puts the ball in Philly being an advantage because I think Green Bay is pretty good.
Yeah. I tend to agree as well. Look, speaking of really good football players, I got a good Falcons topic for y'all here in Mic'd Up. So, well, first of all, let me go through the driver bracket today. The NASCAR driver bracket had to eliminate. This was really tough. Christopher Bell against William Byron. Friend of the show, William Byron. Christopher Bell got eliminated off my new driver bracket for 2025. So William Byron, friend of the morning shift, moves on in that bracket. If you want to continue to follow that, you can find me at Twitter, at MPJohnson79. Okay, so the NFL, you guys have heard of the next-gen stats. Next-gen stats is something that came out where it allows everybody with NFL.com to kind of follow along with some of the things that you might not see on a normal basis down in and down out. It allows you to kind of get a little bit deeper into the stats and follow along with players and what they are actually doing well, not just how many catches a guy has or how many tackles a guy has, what they're actually doing well in a lot of these instances. Well, they came out with an all-pro team, and it featured one Atlanta Falcon. I'll give both of you guys one guess who was featured on the NFL Next Gen Stats all-pro team.
Bijan Robinson.
No.
Okay.
Give you another one.
Is it offense?
No.
Jesse Bates.
Nope.
Caden Ellis.
Caden Ellis was the only guy for the Atlanta Falcons on the NFL Next Gen Stats all-pro team.
There's something about like 140 plus tackles with five sacks, and there's something else in there. I think that
pressure.
I think it was like, did he have like eight or so tackles for loss or something like that?
He had a lot. There was in there a team pressure percentage. Like he had 20% of the team's pressures or something like that. An ability to get in the backfield and shake things up.
Yeah, he was a lot better than you realize this year. I think at the beginning of the year the linebackers weren't overly phenomenal.
Yeah, it was just funny because you're following along, and I think anybody that's seen this, and you could find this obviously with the Next Gen Stats on the NFL.com tab, anybody that's following along, like you read down, and it's like, okay, All-Pro, Pro Bowler, All-Pro, Pro Bowler, and then you get to Caden Ellis, and you're like, this dude's not getting his due. He's not on a national level. The guy's not getting his due, and I think it was nice to kind of see Caden Ellis mixed in with some of these other names, and I'm talking about Chris Jones. You know, you're talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick, some of the other names that are being thrown around next to him, and to see Caden Ellis up there in a setting like that, I don't think a lot of Falcons fans would see that one coming. And you look at it, and we've talked about it before on the show, should he be a Pro Bowler, should he not be? You know, is he one of these guys that should have been included? If you look at what he does as an off-the-ball linebacker and his ability to get pressure in that way, and you had to with this defense because you weren't getting off the edge a lot of times or up the middle, he's just straight out exceptional. I mean, he's just straight out exceptional in what he's being asked to do. His missed tackle percentage, extremely low in terms of off-the-ball linebackers. His coverage ability was very, very good when you start looking at his next-gen stats. So, again, this is not a fan voting. This is not other players voting or coaches voting. This is the next-gen stat people looking at it and watching film and seeing grades and seeing everything else that he does for this team and saying, dude, Caden Ellis is that guy. So, it's awesome to see. Happy to have that for Caden Ellis. And, you know, that's not the all-pro team that's going to get you the bonuses locked in. But, again, seeing him in that setting, I think, kind of opens the eyes for some of the Falcons fans that maybe don't value him the way he should be.
Good for him. Well, Sports Radio 929 The Game is your home for the NFL playoffs. Join us for all the action of Wild Card Round, including a Sunday tripleheader. Sports Radio 929 The Game is your home of the NFL in Westwood 1 and brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. When we come back here on the morning shift, Rusty Manziel waiting outside the door to the studio to come in and set the table for these college football playoff games. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.